VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of bloodborne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. Germany. Germany's piece of the story is vast because we're looking at the major banking and industrial center of the European Union's success. There are challenges for all of the European Union, especially when we look at the Ukraine war and questions about energy. But the challenge for Germany is profound. I welcome Judy Dempsey of Strategic Europe, part of the Carnegie Endowment. She is in Berlin writing for her publication on Germany and how it's dealing with the obvious disconnect between Russian energy that Germany is now continuing to import and the crisis in Ukraine. Judy, I read from a report we have here in Bloomberg in these last days, not about the German government, but about German industry, very successful German industry. Along the banks of the Rhine, it goes, Europe's biggest chemical factory churns out the building block compounds for Germany's powerhouse car, pharmaceutical, and agricultural industries, all fueled by pipelines filled with Russian gas. BASF's SE's plant in Ludwigshafen is emerging as a symbol of Germany's opposition to a full embargo on Russian gas amid rising calls to punish Vladimir Putin for his war on Ukraine. Cutting it off, says BASF, could render its factory inoperative, sending shockwaves through many industries and causing Germany's economy irreversible damage. This, at length, is what you referred to in your most recent essay as the resistance of private enterprise in Germany. How widespread is this, Judy, right now, given the Ukraine war getting into another stage of bloody-mindedness? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John, and thank you very much, as always, for having me on your great show. Okay, this is a very important question. The German business lobbies and the old political elites are still against any kind of energy embargo, firstly. Secondly, they are still rather reluctant, if I can say that diplomatically, to really push Putin much further into a corner. They are financing his war machine. And thirdly, somehow they do not see that the future of Ukraine's sovereignty and independence will affect the overall stability and the future map of Europe. They do not want to entertain this. They want to keep the ties with Russia.
I come to this, Judy, having traveled through Germany just once in my life. And at the same time, having read about Germany all my life because of the Second World War, you reference in your essay that Germany has a special point of view, as Russia does, because of the contest between Germany and Russia in the First War and the Second War and the Cold War. Three times these sovereign powers tussled, and Germany was the loser, certainly the profound loser, in the Second War, and then during the Cold War, struggled with a country split in two. Is that a memory in the conversation today? Because men my age are the sons of the men who were in the war. So the sons and grandsons, do they refer to 1945 when they talk about accommodation with Russia?
The younger generation doesn't. The older, mid to older generation do. But it's not an accommodation with Russia. It goes deeper than that, John, because over the last 40 or 50 years, the German political elites and the German economic lobbies have built an extraordinary, intense, integrated relationship with Russia on the cultural level, on the political level, on the economic level, on the trade level, on the energy level. And they are actually loath to cut this. That's the first point. Secondly, yes, you can always blame the Second World War. You can always blame wars for prolonging guilt, for prolonging ambiguity, prolonging why we shouldn't do this again. But somehow the political elites and the business community will not now move away from what happened in 1945, move away from the Cold War, and look at what Russia is doing now, which is destabilizing, invading a sovereign, independent country right beside the European Union. And somehow this is deeply set in the narrative of the German elite discourse, particularly not among the Chancellery, which is led by Chancellor Olaf Scholz, a Social Democrat.
The theory was Ostpolitik, and it reigned in Germany these last 20 years or more. Certainly since the end of the Soviet Union, it was popular everywhere, including in the United States. It was seen as a way of knitting together Russia into the European Union. Is that still an ambition of the industrialists who are reluctant to give up Russian gas? Do they think by buying from Russia, they can repair the damage that's been done in these last weeks?
Well, if they believe this, they are living in a very strange world. The damage is probably irreparable. And if the business elites, and if you read between the lines, somehow they believe, well, maybe we can go back to the status quo ante before the second invasion of Ukraine. But this is wishful thinking, because Germany's attitude by the elites and by the business communities is actually dividing Europe, not uniting Europe. And if and when this awful war is over, and if Germany doesn't change its stance, Germany will be accused of complicity with what Russia is doing with Ukraine. And it could be complicit in actually weakening, if not destroying, the sovereignty of Ukraine unless it changes its attitude now and not down the next 4 or 5 months, which would be too late.
The German public, they poll. This is a sophisticated culture. Is there any sense of the German public going one way or the other? Not the industrialists, not the politicians, but the people who go to vote.
It is so complicated, these opinion polls. So in some ways, the opinion polls are distorted. The opinion polls said, you know, do you criticize Russia for the war in Ukraine? Yes. Okay. Are you willing to deal with, what do you think of high energy prices? Oh, we're against high energy prices. We don't want to reduce our holidays. We will reduce driving a little. But essentially, the opinion polls are always framed in, how is this going to hurt you? From the consumer point of view and from your well-being, instead of asking, how do you think the war in Ukraine and the civilian casualties and the deaths and the torture and everything else, how should this affect your way of life? Shouldn't you actually make some sacrifices for the future stability and safety of Ukraine and Europe? And this doesn't factor into the opinion polls. But at the end of the day, the German public more and more is highly critical of Scholz's kind of arrogance. I don't have to say anything really. And he's sitting on the fence and he says, oh, well, maybe we will supply heavy weapons, but maybe with our NATO allies. I mean, frankly, the longer he delays there, I think he's actually in danger of a political danger of being highly criticized more and more by the German public, who actually do see the suffering every single day and realize that most Germans realize that Russia is behind this.
You report correctly that Putin's war records, Chechnya, Georgia, Syria, Ukraine, I add Armenia because there are two Russian bases there, and it's not at all obvious that they're well-intentioned about the conflict with Azerbaijan. And now what we're looking at is the possibility of more disruption because of the threats to the Baltic states. I will put nuclear weapons in Kaliningrad if Finland and Sweden join NATO, that sort of threat. So there is a pattern here, what the police would call a long rap sheet. So does that move the case for Germany to say we turned away from it at the time, but now we can't turn away from it anymore? The man is a predator.
There's part of this political discourse here that says, oh, if weapons are sent, it'll prolong the war, it'll lead to more escalation. And it's as if you sense that, well, we shouldn't arm Ukraine. It'll escalate, so we can't annoy Russia. I mean, it's not as blatant as this, but it's a subset of this narrative. But at the moment, Germany, unless there's a big change among the coalition is fragile enough as it is, Germany will only change if there's immense pressure on the Chancellor by his allies, by NATO, by the United States, and if the Germans speak out about the comfortable role of the business elites with Russia, who are financing day by day this Russia war. And this has to get through. And at the end of the day, we have to pay sacrifices for freedom.
Judy Dempsey, the editor of Strategic Europe, writing about Germany's moral dilemma now in the midst of Ukraine crisis. When we come back, however, other points of view around the world, Judy asks the questions each week. And this time, is Russia's war in Ukraine dividing the world? We get to hear from the subcontinent. We get to hear from the point of view of the outside the conflict zone, what used to be called the non-aligned states. When we come back, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.